Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I know this is a topic that applies to everybody because it applies to me as well as everybody else. When you feel disappointed, when you feel hurt, when you feel neglected, when you feel attacked, when you feel offended. That's a long title, isn't it? So, have you ever felt disappointment in a friend, a family member, a spouse? How about God? Anybody ever been disappointed in God because you prayed very sincerely? Got some other friends to pray with you. Well, that's understandable, but not acceptable. Did Jesus say, "Follow me and no one will ever hurt or disappoint you, and all your prayers would be answered"? The Bible doesn't say God answers prayer. The Bible says God answers the prayer of faith. And sometimes our faith is not always on this level. Now, Jesus expected that faith of his disciples to be on his level. But was it? No. Kind of went up and down. It fluctuated. Sometimes our faith fluctuates as well. So, God expects you to handle disappointment. Now I'm going to show you how and how in my own life I've done that as well. Setbacks, hurts, attacks, bad luck, traffic. Anointed and confident and equipped to handle every situation. That's who we are in the new creation. And we are new creatures. You just got to teach yourself that and remind yourself often. Hey, Steve, yes? You're a new creature. I don't feel like a new creature. You are a new creature. You start going by what God says about you, not how you feel about yourself or how you feel about other people. So realize that in every situation. Don't suck your thumb and cry like a baby, which is what I usually do. I'm just being myself here. Someone might have marginalized you, didn't value you, didn't treat you right. But listen, that's not persecution. That's just an irritation. Yeah. Something hurts your feelings. That's not persecution. Somebody might have made fun of you. That's still not persecution. We've got a long way to go for that. So that means we can handle that. Paul even handled the persecution part, didn't he? Yes, he did. He handled that. He said, "I've learned to be content." Now, what are some things that Paul had to handle in his life? He was beat up. He was shipwrecked. He was ignored. He was attacked, threatened with death, and then finally martyred. Yeah. There was a lot he didn't have just smooth sailing all of his life simply because he loved Jesus. And neither do we. So, that's life. You can't keep it from happening, but you can control your response. Be like a tennis player. What does a tennis player do? Keeps knocking the ball back. So if you're if you're in a match with the devil, he's going to keep it up. He's going to keep knocking the ball to you, and he's going to hit it hard. So what do? Suck your thumb and cry like a baby. No? What do? You keep knocking it back. Yeah, I was watching the U.S. Open tennis the other day. Boy, did they ever knock the ball back. I said, how is he going to get that one? He got it. So in heaven, they might be looking down upon us and saying, how are they going to knock that one back? But we will. We will knock it back, and we're not going to give up. I've had many prayer disappointments. I was praying for a baby one time, and the baby died while I was praying for it. Yeah. Real good friend in the church. She was in the hospital. She wanted prayer. While I was praying for her, she died. There was a lady in my church at Rockwood that I went to see her in the hospital, went in to pray for her. And I did pray for her. Lord, bless her, heal her, raise her up. The nurse came in a few minutes later and said, she died about 30 minutes ago. So there's lots of disappointments. But I do remember some of the things where God came through and answered it. And I was going, yes. When I first went to my first church, I asked God to give me a miracle just to kind of show me that I was in the right place. The first day I was on the job, I went into the hospital just to check to see if anybody from my church was in the hospital. Well, there wasn't, but I saw a little baby through the window. And I asked the nurse, I said, where's the baby's mother? And said, oh, she's already gone home. We don't expect the baby to live much longer. So I just put my hand on the glass and I said, Lord, I'm just asking for you to save that baby. Baby, live in Jesus' name. I walked off. Next day, I came back, checked the hospital again, and there was not a baby in the, the nursery. Yeah, I was kind of worried about that. I asked the nurse, I said, what happened to that baby? He said, oh, that baby got all right and went home with his mother. That's what I said. Hallelujah. I said, there's the miracle. Another time at the church at Rockwood, there was a man. I didn't really know him because he hadn't been coming to church. The church, a few years back, had a split, and he never did come back. And then so I thought, hey, I want to find out about this man. His name was Bill Throne, if anybody knows him. So anyway, he was in the hospital, and I was trying to find out, well, what's going on? Well, his wife was there, and she said, well, they just did a CAT scan? Is that what they did on his brain? And they said, here's his problem. Said he's got cancer of the brain, and it's inoperable. We can't operate on it because it's kind of like sand in his brain. Yeah, it's just all through his brain. So anyway, we prayed, God, heal him of the cancer. Well, it was the next day or the day after, I came to visit him in the hospital, and there was his wife. She was sitting there knitting. I can still see her. And I said, well, you know, how's Bill today? And she said, oh, we're fixing to go home. There's no more cancer. What happened? Well, they took another x-ray, and there's no cancer there. So, you know, we've all got stories of disappointments and victories. So just remember that in the midst of a disappointment, God's not letting you down. There's just a problem and we don't know what it is. Isn't that better? A better way of saying, instead of saying, I guess God didn't want to do it. Yeah, he helps others, but he won't help me. No, don't say that. God wants to help you. He's already made that clear. Don't let the enemy steal your peace, or steal your faith, steal your joy, or steal your smile. Don't let him steal your bounce back. How about your forehand or your backhand? Now, don't let him steal that either. You got to take care of that. Look at what Jesus endured. Look at what Paul endured and what they had to deal with. What did Jesus deal with? Persecution, accusations. They called him Beelzebub. You know, I don't know. Nobody, I don't think, has ever called me the devil. But they called Jesus the devil. Not to my face. That's it. Yeah. I haven't even heard it under somebody's breath. Yeah. So, even sometimes Jesus' friends also opposed him. As disciples also opposed him. Oh, man. So Jesus had a lot to overcome, but he did. He didn't let him get him down. So how about this? Maybe this is a way to pray today. Lord, today I will be at war with the enemy. That's fine. I'm a soldier. I have been through basic training. I expect that, and I am prepared. I have Jesus' example. I have the Word of God. I have the Holy Spirit. I am a new creature in Christ. I have a pastor. I have Christian friends who encourage me. There you go. You got a lot going for you. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, you sometimes forget what all you do have going for you. That's why you got to pray and remind yourself. So when you're up against a difficult time in your life, always put it in context. There's a huge wave of opposition and difficulty coming my way. I know that, but I'm ready for it. So I'm going to keep my eye on the promise, not the enemy. Persevere, keep trusting, don't look back, keep walking. Whatever the problem is, through Christ, I can handle it. There's a good prayer declaration. Lord, today, there's going to be trouble, but I can handle it. How many times did Jesus tell his disciples, "Didn't I tell you?" Or, "O ye of little faith?" He said to Mary, "Did I not tell you you would see the glory of God?" Remember when Jesus came back to Bethany, Mary and Martha were saying, "Hey, you're too late. Lazarus has already died. So let me ask you a question. Was it too late?" No. Not for Jesus. You know, he had to say, "Didn't you know I'm the resurrection and the life?" There was a man in the Old Testament. I'll just kind of really hit the outline, the high point. His name was Balak. Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel. Anybody remember that story? It was so cool because he was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam was a prophet. And so Balak said, "Man, if y'all could curse Israel, then we could defeat them. Right now, we can't defeat Israel because they're blessed. So please, would you come? I'll give you money. I'll give you anything if you will just curse them just once." And do you remember Balaam's answer? "They're blessed, and I cannot curse them." In other words, I can't reverse that blessing. It's on Israel, so I can't do it. "Oh, come on, please, just this one time, and then we can defeat them. Sorry, wish I could help you out, but I can't." So when spiritual Balak comes and says to you, "You're worthless, you're forsaken, you're cursed," the answer is, help me out, somebody. The answer is, "No, I am blessed and you can't stop it. I'm a valued child of God and you can't change that." There's your answer. So no matter what, I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to trust my God that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, I've got more, but I'll make this into a full-fledged teaching sometime, and don't act like you've already heard this before, in case I want, that way I don't waste these notes. They'll forget. They won't remember 30 minutes from me. "Pastor, that was such a good sermon. Oh yeah, which one was it? Oh, I can't remember any of the details, but it was good. Oh, so I could preach it again next Sunday and you wouldn't know." That's right. And then they say, "I don't remember." And then I'm giving them this look of disappointment. "You don't remember?" And they go, "Yeah, yeah, what was it about?" And I go, "Oh, I don't remember either." Yeah, that has happened before. All right. So anyway, now, if you're watching on Facebook, stay with us just a few more minutes, and then we'll dismiss you because you probably don't want to watch us eat, do you? Okay, so I've got just some good information here for you. It's trivia facts from 1960. How many of you were alive in 1960? Okay. Well, just be glad you're still here, because that was 60 years ago. Is that right? 40 and 20? Okay. I can still do my math. Okay, John F. Kennedy was elected President of the United States by defeating Richard Nixon. Yeah, and JFK was the first Roman Catholic and youngest person ever to be elected U.S. President. All right. And the 10 millionth copyright registration was made at the U.S. Copyright Office. And in the year 1960, General Motors was America's biggest company, followed by U.S. Steel, General Electric, Chrysler, and Standard Oil of New Jersey. The starting salary for a teacher was $5,135. It was $4,400 for a police officer and $9,400 for an engineer. How about this? Over 90% of American households had at least one, what? TV. And about 65% of Americans were churchgoers. How many of you know that's not so true today? Unfortunately. The average family income was $5,600, an increase of $200, or 4% over 1959. All right, we're skipping. Oh, the top TV show in 1960 starts with a G.
Gunsmoke.
Yep, Gunsmoke. And the last episode of the Howdy Doody show aired. And the Flintstones premiered. And who won the Oscar in 1960? For Best Picture of the Year, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Original Music Score, and Best Costume Design. Good guess. No.
Cecil B. DeMille.
Yes, I think it was. No. No. Give up. Because you're going to slap your forehead when I tell you. No. Here we go. Ben-Hur. Ah, Ben-Hur. The minimum wage was $1. The average family income was 56. Oh, I said that earlier. A slice of pizza cost 15 cents. Yeah. Pack of gum was 5 cents. I remember that. Getting on my bicycle, riding down to the corner store, I had a nickel in my pocket. Yeah. And I could get a package of gum or a candy bar or a soda water. Yeah. So if I had a dime, I was really in good shape. So, the five most popular TV shows. Five most popular. We said one was what? Gunsmoke. Number two, WT, the initials. Yes, Wagon Train. And number three, starred Richard Boone. Have Gun Will Travel. Number four, The Andy Griffith Show. And number five, see if anybody can guess this. This is number five in 1960. No. No. Walter Brennan was in it. No. Huh? The Real McCoys. There you go. All right. Okay, well, there's some good stuff that we knew that we'd kind of forgotten. Yeah. Or didn't quite have it in that order. All right, so we're going to do some more fun and games. Paul is going to be in charge of that. He's got a little game for us to play, and then I think some bingo. But they're getting all the food ready. Maybe we're going to eat first. Is that it? All right. So anyway, so we're going to sign out for television, for Facebook, and so on, and say thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time. God bless.